This is a privilege every year for me. This is a little bit different. Every year, God has been so gracious to allow me to open up the year in January with a message to set the tone for the new year. This year, He chose that I would spend the beginning of the new year a little bit differently than I had anticipated. Many of you have been praying for me, and I want to thank you for those prayers. For those of you who might not know, God very graciously protected me, but then I did find out that I needed triple bypass surgery, and so I stand before you today with stainless steel wires holding my sternum together. I am getting stronger each day, and I'm so thankful to have this privilege today. So I'm going to give you a forewarning to make this morning. Pick up the sword of the Spirit, men. Hold the word of the Lord up high this morning. If you have it in your hands, hold it up. I'm literally asking you, pick up the sword of the Spirit. Now, pause for a moment and look around this room. You want to change this county. If you want to change this state, if you want to change this nation, if you want to change this world, let's be men of this word. Amen? Amen. This will change your life. So let me pray for you, and my forewarning is this. We're going to spend a lot of time in His Word this morning. Now, I say this often because I enjoy it. To me, it's somewhat comical. God can speak through a donkey. I believe He might be able to speak through me this morning. So let me pray. Father God, I praise You and thank You that I know that every man that is here today is here by divine appointment. Your Word says that before we were even formed in our mother's womb, You've ordained every day for us before one of them came to be. And Lord, You know that I've been asking You for some time what it was that You wanted me to share with these men, that many of which I pray were bought and redeemed by the blood of You, Jesus. And Lord, I'll pray in advance. If there's a man here today, whether he's a teenager or whether he's in the last years of his life, if there's one man here today that is not certain that they're born again and that they've been redeemed by Your blood, forgiven of their sins, then Lord, don't let that man, young or old, depart from this place today without seeing another man and asking the question, what must I do to be given the gift of eternal life? So Father, I thank You so much for this time to be with these men. Work now amongst us. And may Your word accomplish the set purpose for which You'll send it today. It's in Jesus' mighty name, and all God's men join me in saying, Amen. So a little background to this. Each year when God gives me this opportunity, you know what? I talk to Jesus just the way I'm talking to you this morning. And I ask Him every year, Jesus, what is it that You want me to share with these precious men who come together once a month, the last Saturday of every month, and we call ourselves men following Christ. Amen? And again, I'm going to remind us, if you're here today and you know the Lord as your personal Savior, the challenge today is we are men following Christ. I want you to open up your Bible to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Many of you know I have an unusual habit. I just simply speak Jesus' words back to Him. Yes, all Scripture is God-breathed. Yes, all Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that a man of God or the men of God will be thoroughly equipped for good works. Yes, but this is the Word of the Lord. And so why not talk His Word back to Him, showing Him this morning the appreciation that we have that He chose to give us His living and enduring Word. So join me as I share His word back with Him this morning. And I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit. Jesus, You chose to take Luke, the physician, to write the book of Acts. And he wrote to Theophilus about all that You had done and all that You had taught until the day, Jesus, You were taken up to heaven. After giving instructions to the Holy Spirit to the apostles You had chosen. After Your suffering, Lord, You presented Yourself to them, and You gave many convincing proofs that You, Jesus, were alive. You appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. on one occasion, Lord, while you were eating with them, you gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around you, Jesus, and they asked you, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And you said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After you said this, Jesus, you were taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid you from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as you were going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Now, the reason why I wanted us to start there this morning, according to his word, where is Jesus right now? He is in heaven. A little more specifically, in heaven, where is Jesus right now? At the right hand of God the Father. Where is he at as he is beside the Father and at the right hand of Father? He is seated upon his throne. You see, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords today is seated upon his throne. Do you believe that by faith? Do you believe by faith that the resurrected, glorified, physical body that Thomas touched is seated upon his throne? Do you believe it by faith? I wanted to set the stage this morning because here's what I've been asking Jesus. I started asking this in the fourth quarter of last year before I even knew I was going to have open heart surgery. I got to tell you, today too, I was up at 4:30 this morning with Jesus, talking to him, and it kind of hit me. I thought, Lord, December 31st, 2015, I had L4, L5, S1 spinal fusion. Some of you remember I shared a message that January that said, sometimes the things you want to know, you don't want to know. And I went for another year, and I ended a year healthy. And then last year, I ended a year, and I had open heart surgery. I hope God's not working in threes on me. Because I hope next year I can come in January and say, I was healthy. No surgeries. I'm here healthy as I hold out his word to you. But I asked the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to share in 2019? And I didn't hear anything clearly. But I kept asking, Lord, what do you want me to share that will bring you the glory, that will bring you the honor, that will bring you the praise, and most importantly, will accomplish the set purpose for what you sent it? And I kept asking that question. And then I shared with Ben this morning, it was a little unusual because he impressed upon my heart, go into your file and pull out a message from several years ago when you were young in your faith. I thought, Lord, by your grace, I'm so much farther ahead now than what I was then, and you want me to go back and pull that specific topic out of your file, and I want you to hold that out again in 2019. So that was clear. But you know what? I can be a little bit like Gideon. Some of you know the story of Gideon. Well, Gideon, he was like, Lord, So I said, Lord, is this really what you want me to do? And my pastor was gone for 4 weeks. So I had not heard Pastor Dave Embrecht at Napanee Missionary Church hold God's word out for 4 weeks. He was in India. Then he was in Honduras. Then he was in Florida. And he returns, and the message that day was on prayer. About a week later, I said, okay, Lord, you know what I've been talking to you about. And Pastor Dave, after being gone for 4 weeks, came and spoke on the subject of prayer. About 2 weeks ago, again, I was asking the Lord, Lord, are you sure that this is what you want me to do? Not doubting him, doubting myself. And Don and I have a plan that we are in this year, different than past years. You guys have heard me say, by God's grace, Don and I have listened to Jesus in the entirety of his word together for 20 years, starting in Genesis, finishing in Revelation. We meet or talk with each other every week. We share with what God has been teaching us and talking to us about from his word. This year we're doing something different. We're staying in the New Testament. We're reading the Proverbs of the day, and we're working through the Psalms together. But every time we're in the New Testament and we see the Old Testament being referenced, we take the time to say, what was going on at this time? That they would go back and reference Old Testament scriptures to make a point in the New Testament period of time. So that day, my reading plan said to go to Luke chapter 11. And I had just got done saying, Lord, are you sure? And I open up, and guess what the heading of Luke chapter 11 in the NIV says? Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. I didn't have any doubt. But then one more thing just happened this past week. I got a call from Jerry Purdy. She's the executive director of the Intercession Group that now is the 501c3 that Men Following Christ is being held accountable to. Jerry's our executive director. She had a quarterly meeting for our advisory board, leaders in our community that are starting to come together. Guys, I'm going to tell you, God is at work in Warsaw and Winona Lake and Kosciuszko County. I believe it with all of my soul. And I believe we are going to start seeing things like we see when we reflect on them from the book of Acts. We're going to start seeing them again. Why? Because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And could we be? Could we be the generation that will be here when Christ returns? It's a question. But he impressed this upon my heart again. I want you to take men to my word and talk on the subject of prayer. But one more time, he had to impress it upon my heart. So Jerry said, Rob, would you lead a devotion on Friday morning with knowing 30-some leaders in our community would be there? And my first response was, I got to prepare for something else. I've got to get prepared for Men Following Christ. But in obedience, of course, Jerry, I'll serve. So Don and I also use, I should have brought it this morning, literally, it is this thick. It's written by Rick Renner. He's a brother in Christ who's in St. Petersburg, Florida. And his devotion is called Sparkling Gems. And man, he takes you into the original languages and he just breaks apart the text and he makes it so applicable. We are just blessed by it. Write that down. I would encourage you. Make an investment. Buy this daily devotion. 365 devotions that'll help you grow. But it's called Sparkling Gems. So, I thought, well, you know what? Friday? Wonder what Rick has to say. I open it up. And what do you think it was about? Prayer. So men, let's get ready. We're going to go today, and we're going to look deep. We're going to go to a lot of scriptures today. So whether you're using electronic word of the Lord, or whether you have it in printed form, follow along with me. I love to hear the pages of the word of the Lord making noise. That is a good sound, is it not? So this morning, we just got done listening to Jesus, reflecting on the fact that he was on this earth after he had been crucified, after he was raised from the dead, appeared for 40 days, and then ascended into heaven and sat down on his throne at the right hand of our Father and his Father. My question for us this morning, we call ourselves men following Christ. The foundational passage of this ministry is 1 John 2, 5b and 6. Again, the foundational passage of this ministry is 1 John 2, 5b and 6. That passage says, this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk or must live as Jesus did. I like the second translation, must live as Jesus did. Do we agree by faith this morning, Jesus, fully man yet fully God? You know what? I don't think there's enough teaching on the truth of that. Fully man, yet fully God. So I want you to ponder this morning. If you're a man here today and you say, I want to be known as a man following Christ. How many of you, by the raising of your hand, remember Dr. Jimmy Covey, one of my mentors? He's spoke many times. Would we like to have him back again? Amen. We're going to try to do that this fall with Jimmy. But when Jimmy heard Don and I say, we decided to change the name of this ministry from Men for Christ to Men Following Christ, Jimmy said, that knife will cut. And what he meant by that, if you're going to be bold enough to walk around and wear a logo that says Men Following Christ, you better be a man following Christ. Amen. Now I say that with passionate desire. If you're here today and you're born again and you love Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're a man following Christ. But I can guarantee you this, that goofy little game that you play when you're a kid and you're going to follow Big Gordy and whatever Gordy does, I'm going to do. What's the name of that little game you play? Simon Says? Or follow the leader. That's what I wanted to hear. Follow the leader. Well, if Gordy went to the right and I went to the left, I wouldn't be a very good follower of Gordy, would I? Men following Christ. Men following Christ. So, on this subject of prayer, I wanted to ask myself again the question, did Jesus set us an example to follow, fully man yet fully God, as it relates to prayer? The answer unequivocally is yes. I look back on the back table today. Other than the Word of the Lord and the Lord of the Word, one of the books in my life that radically transformed my life was Walking Like Jesus Did, authored by Pastor Larry McCall. If you haven't picked up a copy, pick up a copy. I'll take $10 out of my pocket and I'll pay it for you. I want to see that table not have any of that books on it today. Because we'll go buy another case, and we've bought multiple cases over the year. It's a great study on Christ, and I owe so much to Pastor Larry McCall. For one, being a pastor in my life when I was first saved, mentoring me and guiding me and teaching me what it meant to call myself a man who follows Christ. And he's taught me so many other things, and if Larry was here today, I would acknowledge him personally, but I do so today publicly. So what about this? Did Jesus set an example for us to follow? Let's first of all look at Mark 1:35. I was going to do this morning. I chose not to do it, and now I believe we're supposed to. Would there be one man right now who's willing to put up his hand in the air and say, I'll stand and I'll read this passage out loud for you? Okay, right here, brother Timothy. I want you to read this passage for us. I want you to use this. My pastor says, use your big, loud, outdoor voice and read Mark 1:35 for us. Mark 1:35. Very good. Would you one more time repeat that again for us?
Sure. In the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed.
I can tell you what, thank you very much, brother. At 4:30 in the morning, it's very dark.
Right.
We see right off the bat, Jesus sets an example for us. While it was still dark, very early in the morning, Jesus found a solitude place to be alone, and he prayed. How about another brother who would be willing to stand up and read Luke 5:16 right here again in the front row? Man, this front row, young guys are dominating this morning. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Big outdoor voice.
16, was it?
Yeah. Correct.
But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed.
Very good, that's it. Point that I want to make, but Jesus often withdrew, and where? To lonely places, and what did he do? He prayed. Guys, I'm going to pause for a moment because I'm so blessed. I got so much time this morning, and I can tell you I need it. How many of you feel sometimes as if things just never stop? It's text messages, it's emails, it's phone calls, it's voicemails. It's hard to find a time and a place to be alone with our Father and pray. And Don and I are personally convinced in the morning, while it's still dark, find a place to be alone and be with Jesus. For me, at the Meyer residence, everything starts at about 5:30 a.m. My wife's an early riser. She goes out and mucks the stalls and takes care of the horses, and she lets 6 dogs out, and there's way too many cats to live on a property that's owned by a sister and brother in Christ, but they're there. Dogs start barking, and lights start coming on. That's not the time to be alone. And so I have to get up very early in the morning. And Don knows, and I say this to give God all the glory, Don knows when he hears me say, "Don, I went to my special place." I have a very special place down by Winona Lake that I've been alone with Jesus many, many times, weeping, crying, rejoicing, laughing. But it's my special place to be with Jesus and to pray. So 2 examples. Jesus got up very early in the morning when it was still dark, and he prayed. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. How about this? Let's go to Luke 6:12-13 together. I'll read that. We're staying right in the Gospel of Luke. Luke 6, chapter 12, or 6, verse 12 and 13. Again, this is my way in which I enjoy my time with Jesus. "One of those days, Jesus, you went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God." Pause for a moment. Jesus, fully man, yet fully God, who was he praying to? His Father. Why do you think we call ourselves brothers in Christ? Jesus is your brother. Right? Guess what? Don often says this to me, "My brother from another mother, but the same Father." Chew on that. Avery, "My brother from another mother, but the same Father." Jesus, fully man yet fully God, took the time to get up while it was still dark and prayed. Jesus often withdrew. Guess what Jesus did here? He had to make a decision. Ever have to make any decisions in your life? Dan Stichter's here with me today, my dear precious brother in Christ, our CFO. He leads our company in financial matters. He's got to make decisions all the time. Dan and I have to make decisions together. What is the best way for us to make decisions? Follow Jesus, men. He set the example for us. He needed to select 12 men who were going to be men that were going to turn the world upside down. And yes, even one of those men was prophesied, and the truth had to be foretold and come to reality. One of those men were going to betray him. But Jesus went to a mountainside and he prayed, and guess what? It wasn't a flare prayer. A flare prayer is when you need to pray and you pray real quick. Jesus, according to his word, how long did he pray before he made that decision? All night. Fully man, yet fully God, and he prayed all night. If there's one thing, men, I hope you're beginning to get convicted of, if you're going to call yourself a man following Christ, if I'm going to call myself a man following Christ, I have got to be a man of prayer. There is no ifs and buts about it. We have to be men of prayer. Jesus set that example for us. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them who he also appointed as apostles. Prayed all night in making his decisions. And you know what else? We call ourselves followers of Christ. We're disciples of Christ. We're learners from Christ. Amen? Well, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. So he set an example, but then he taught. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. And again, much of what I'm sharing with you this morning, I've been taught. If Larry McCall was here today, I would have said, "Larry, this first part of this challenge this morning comes from your writing of Walk Like Jesus Did." Larry taught me about Jesus being a man of prayer. Because Larry examined Jesus' prayer life. And part of the book he wrote was helping us to understand we need to be men of prayer. So, one day Jesus, what was he doing, men? Praying. One day, Jesus, you were praying in a certain place. When you finished, one of your disciples came to you and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." as John taught his disciples. Now watch this, men. Jesus, you said to them, when you pray, exactly. Jesus said, when you pray, say. Speak out your prayer, men. Pastor Dave said it the first Sunday he came back. He said, I'm so sick and tired of seeing followers of Christ sit in a restaurant and go. It doesn't mean you go, oh, Heavenly Father, I praise you and thank you for this day today. I thank you for Bob Evans' restaurant. I thank you for my waitress. No, that's kind of out there. But there's nothing wrong with bowing your head and saying, Father God, I just praise you for this time of fellowship this morning with my brother. Lord, I pray that you'd come, and I pray that we would be nourished from the fellowship at this table. I pray that you nourish and strengthen us, Lord, with the food that's been prepared by the hands that have brought it to us this morning, Lord. If they don't know you as their Lord and Savior, Jesus, bring those that would plant, bring those that would water. Lord, as I'm together with these men today, Lord, we've been in fellowship and we're enjoying food. Lord, I pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You don't know who's sitting beside you. I heard a story once. In fact, it was a story from a professor here at Grace College who came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior because he was sitting in the cafeteria, dead in his sins and transgressions, and the table beside him or the booth beside him, the gospel was being proclaimed. And he got cut to the heart, and he prayed and received Christ as his Lord and Savior because somebody was willing to be bold in their faith. I'm asking you this morning, how bold are you in your public prayer life? I'm just asking you that question. And Jesus did teach them to pray. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed or holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Point I wanted to make in this one, when you pray, say. Let's stay in Luke. We'll go over to chapter 18. Let your fingers do the walking. Not just the yellow book that you can do that in. You can do it in the living and enduring Word of God. Amen? Luke chapter 18. Many times Jesus taught in what? Parables. Join me in this. Jesus, you told your disciples a parable to show them that they should always and not. This is a parable, but Jesus teaches a parable because he wants to show you how you should pray, and thus he teaches this parable. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time, he, the judge, refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they will get justice and come quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is not in my notes, and this is when I love that he does this. When you pray, do you just pray the same old prayer, the monotonous, same old prayer? Or do you pray by faith? And do you pray in faith? Good question for us to keep chewing on this morning. Do you pray by faith and do you pray in faith? The parable of the persistent widow. Be persistent in our prayers. Jesus showed us again by example. Still in the Gospel of Luke, flip over to the 22nd chapter. Men, pause for a moment and try to take yourself to the Garden of Gethsemane. fully man, yet fully God. Jesus, you went out as, NIV says, you went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus, your disciples followed you. On reaching the place, you, Jesus, said to them, pray that you'll not fall into temptation. Jesus, you withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. And what did our Lord and our Savior do? He knelt down and prayed. He said, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to you, Lord, and strengthened you. Pause for a moment. Just hit me. Fully man, yet fully God. Crying out to God the Father, take this cup from me. Sets an example by the next words, but not my will be done, Father, thy will be done. But the man Jesus needed to be strengthened. Angel of the Lord came to strengthen the Lord of the angels. That should boggle our minds. Fully man, yet fully God. Although in anguish, Lord, you prayed more earnestly, and sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Excuse me. When you rose from prayer and went back to your disciples, you found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. And then Jesus said, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you'll not fall into temptation. Once again, Jesus sets an example for us as men who say we're men following Christ. To follow his example. Everybody tracking with me so far? We have a wonderful Savior who has set an example for us to be men of prayer. Many years ago, I celebrated, let me back up, rephrase that statement. December the 10th of last year, I celebrated my 26th birthday. I'm going to keep telling myself that. Whew, 26. Man, do I feel good. 26-year-old that just had triple bypass, open heart surgery, but I am thankful that I'm 26 years old. 26 years from the day that I was born again. December the 10th, 1992, at 3:30 in the morning. By his grace, I've had unbelievable mentors and teachers in my life. I've had men who've poured their lives into me. They've carried out the principle of 2 Timothy 2:2. Taking Paul to Timothy, Timothy to qualified men who were capable of teaching others. Four generations of men's lives impacted because Christ changed Saul of Tarsus' life first. Amen? A religious man who was putting Christians to death. But until he came to know Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, on a road to Damascus, he was just a dead man walking. And I'd say to you this morning, in the power of the Holy Spirit, he was a religious man who was dead and was still walking. I'm guarded to say this, but I have to say it. Religion will not get you to eternal life. A relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, when you cry out and say, cover me with your blood, forgive me of my sins, guess what happens? Holy and righteous, set apart. Now Abba Father says, that's my son. As Charles Parris has taught me, I am who the great I am says I am. Amen? I can go to pray and I can learn to pray from my brother and from my king and from my Lord. So here's what we're going to go next. We're going to the Old Testament. Go to Genesis chapter 24. The reason why I'm taking you here this morning, I just get to share with you how Jesus opened my eyes to an unbelievable text in Genesis about prayer. Genesis chapter 24. When you're there, say amen. Amen. We're going to bust through this as fast as we can. Actually, we're doing great. So follow along with me. Genesis chapter 24. Abraham was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the senior servant, in his house, the one in charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living. Abraham's asking his servant, but please go to my country and go to my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. The servant asked Abraham, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? Abraham says, make sure you do not take my son back there, Abraham said. The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, to your offspring I will give you this land, he, God, will send his angel before you, the servant, so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore on oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant left, taking with him 10 of his master's camels, loaded with all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for, I'll probably botch this, but we'll try it, Aram Naharan, and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Now watch this, guys. What did the servant do? Then he prayed. Listen carefully. Lord, Yahweh, El Elohim, God of my master Abraham, make me successful sometime in the next decade. Today. Make me successful today. I hold out to you today. That's a bold prayer. Been sent on a mission, very specific instructions. And his first thing that he asks of Yahweh, make me successful today. And show kindness to my master Abraham. Next word, I'll never forget the day it jumped off the Holy Scriptures to me. What's the next word? See. See. Not see, yo también, yo hablo español. No, see, as with see, with the eyes. You see what the servant was saying. He acknowledged who's in heaven, his holy dwelling place. Back there in the Old Testament, who was he praying to? Who was he praying to? God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was what? With God, and the Word was. Guys, this should blow you away. A simple little servant says, see. See what? See, I'm standing beside the spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming to draw water. Watch this. May it be that when I say to a young woman, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Are you getting this? Pretty specific prayer. And look what it says next. Before he had finished praying. Before he had even finished praying. Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. She was a looker. She was beautiful. It's okay to have a little fun once in a while. Guys, come on. She was a looker. She was beautiful. She was gorgeous. A virgin. No man had ever slept with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her. I gotta believe, he was excited. He just got done praying. Before he was even finished praying, whoa, look at her. She's gorgeous. She's going to get water out of the well. The servant hurried to meet her. Please give me a little water from your jar. Listen to this now. Listen to how she responds. Drink, my Lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. So far, so good. Gets better. After she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too. Do you get it, guys? A servant of Abraham, by faith, prayed specifically. And even while he was still praying, the prayer was already being answered. It was already being answered. And I just heard Pastor Gary say, the amazing thing of this, even before that servant was even formed in his mama's womb, God, his Father, had already ordained, I'm going to hear your prayer. And I'm going to answer your prayer. And Abraham's going to have his prayer and his desires answered because you're faithful to pray for him and to pray for the very thing that he's asked God that particular day to do. Well, guess what, guys? Same yesterday as he is today and will be forever. He hears our prayers today. He hears our prayers today. Romans 8:34 tells us, Jesus today, where is he today? Come on, wake up. Where's he at? Seated upon his throne in heaven, his holy dwelling place. And guess what he's doing for you, Gordy? Because his word says he intercedes for you. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Avery, intercedes for you. He intercedes for you, brother. He intercedes for you. He is in the business of being an intercessor for his family. Seated at the right hand of his Father and our Father, he intercedes for us. Old Testament, go find the book of Job. When I got saved, I'm telling you, as great as Jesus is my Savior, I thought it was Job. I thought, this is a book about work. It's Job. Go to the book of Job. We're going to go to chapter 16. Right before Psalms, right in the middle of the word of the Lord is Psalms, and right before that is the book of Job. You guys know the life of Job, right? Wasn't a cakewalk. Very difficult life, but a man of faith. Watch this. Go to verse 19, 16th chapter. Even now, my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend. As my eyes pour out tears to God. On behalf of a man, he, the intercessor, he, Jesus, pleads with God the Father. This is what Job is saying. He pleads with God the Father. He pleads with God the Father. He pleads with God the Father as one pleads for a friend. If you're familiar with the text from John chapter 15, we're told we got to stay connected to Jesus. We got to stay connected to the vine. Jesus says in that, he spoke these words. It's in red letter. Check me out on this. He didn't say to Ben, hey, Ben, I expect you to be a servant to me from here on out. Yes, we are servants. But he said, Ben, I no longer call you my servant. What does he call you? He calls you his friend. Guys, no wonder God said all scripture is God-breathed. It's all useful for teaching and correcting and rebuking, training in righteousness so the men of God will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. My goodness, this is the life of Job. Job understood when he prayed, he knew who he was praying to. He was praying to his intercessor. He knew that his intercessor would plead on his behalf. Imagine with me by faith, when we take our prayers to Jesus, Jesus is pleading with God the Father, oh God the Father, bring us glory. Bring me glory. Bring the Holy Spirit glory. Hear the prayers of my son. Hear the prayers of my brother. Hear the prayers of my friend. And when we pray, we should pray as men of faith, believing that Jesus sees us, that Jesus hears us. I was going to take you to another text in 1 Kings chapter 8. You read Solomon's prayer. Time and time again, Solomon says, see from heaven your holy dwelling place. See from heaven your holy dwelling place. See from heaven your holy dwelling place. Hear the prayer of your servant. Act upon the prayer of your servant. And one day I thought, how many times do I pray and I never ask Jesus to act upon my prayers? Time and time again, Solomon, see from heaven. I love that text because guess what? He starts out praying with his hands like this, exalted in prayer. You get to the end of the text, guess where he's at? He's fallen prostrate before the throne. I believe he was overwhelmed and consumed by the power of the Holy Spirit when he prayed like that. And he recognized he had just entered into the most holy of holies. And I got a news flash for you, men. If you believe the word of the Lord and you believe of the Lord of the word, when you pray, you go into the most holy of holies.
Right.
Is this not an awesome truth and an awesome privilege for us to say, I can go into the most holy of holies? Check it out, in the Old Testament, you probably didn't want to do that. In fact, they were so scared they tied a rope to him because the great high priest went in the most holy of holies in case he was dead. Nobody could go in the holy of holies to pull that dead man out. They had to pull him out by a rope. Check it out. Today, if you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and you're born again, you can go pray and enter into the most holy of holies when you pray. Another news flash, not in the notes. Seated at the right hand of God. Guess where we're seated? We're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. You'd almost think we have Didymus, dynamite power. Newsflash, we do. I am so sick and tired of the bride of Christ being a wimpy bride. It's time to be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Amen? We are born again. We're men who have Christ living in us. We live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Jesus said, these very things I've done, you'll do greater things than these. There was a time in my life I didn't get it. I get it. Because God, my Father, has told me, Rodney Keithmeyer, the same power that I used to raise Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Guys, I tell you, this is why I love this privilege. You're not going to find any of this in those stupid notes up there. And I'm thankful that He moves me to say, no, share this with my men who I purchased with my blood. And I believe this is a word that the Lord is wanting us to hear. Let's rise up and be men of the word and men of prayer. That is what Don and I for 21 years are begging you guys. He paid the price for us. And we can't even be men of the word and men of prayer. Are you kidding me? I'm sick of a bunch of weak men. I'm sick of men who are relying on their own flesh to get by. You will never get by in your own flesh. The only way we can make it is when we beg and cry out to the Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. Dan knows I went through a very difficult night last night. I'm not going to say why. You know what? The only thing I can do is pray. It's the only thing. It's the only thing I must do is pray. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. Psalm chapter 5. Just for a moment, guys, just for a moment, would you by faith, just think about praying this prayer to your Heavenly Father. This Psalm of David. Did David have his act together? You know what I think happens in a lot of guys' lives? Hey, Rod, if you really ever knew the life I lived, do you believe that your sins have removed as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more?
Amen.
Do you believe that God's word says he's blotted our sins out of his record book? There's no record of our sin. And yet we can use it as a cop-out. Why would he ever hear my prayers? I'm just nothing but a wretched sinner. Pastor Charles Parris laid it out to us, right? He said, I'm sick and tired of hearing guys say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Truth, yes, we were saved by grace. Through faith in this, not of ourselves. It's a gift from God, not by works, so that no man can boast. We should be bold men. We should be courageous men. What did David say? Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Listen to this. Hear my cry for help. And personalize this in your own life. If you read my journal, you'll see many times, my King and my God. Do you believe that today? He's your King. He's your God. He says, for to you I do what? I pray. Now watch this one. This is a Jimmy Covey teaching. I remember when Jimmy took me to this passage, I went, oh man, I love this. I got that, Jack. Thank you, brother. By the way, if you don't know Jesus, you don't know Jack. And if you don't know Jack, you don't know Jesus. In the morning. Isn't that interesting? Just hit me again. In the morning. In the morning. Maybe in the morning while it's still dark. And it's very early. And you're alone with God. And you say, in the morning, Lord. In the morning, Yeshua. In the morning, Jesus. Hear my voice. In the morning, Lord. This morning, I lay my request before you, Lord. And what does it say next in the NIV? And wait expectantly. How exciting is that? In the morning, Lord, I'm going to lay my request before you, and I'm going to wait expectantly. He hears our prayers, men. And if you pray, and you pray like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, you can pour your guts out to Jesus, finish your prayer by saying, not my will be done, Father, but thy will be done. Scripture says you have confidence when you pray that way. Now, sometimes God, my Father, Jesus, my Savior, His Holy Spirit doesn't always answer my prayers the way I'd like Him to answer my prayers. So what do I do then? I accept by faith, Abba, Father knows what's best for me. For I know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed into the likeness of His Son. Speaking publicly, my son had to be disciplined last night. I took no pleasure in that discipline. It broke my heart. I hurt for my son today. I hurt for my son today. But I know that was best for my son. Sometimes Father God says, son, Rodney Keith Meyer, I love you so much, but I'm not going to answer your prayer the way that you're asking me to answer your prayer, because you see, son, I love you so much. There's still work to be done in your life. Isaiah 64:8 says, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We're all the works of your hands. Sometimes, Papa, Abba, Father, He molds us pretty hard sometimes, doesn't He? It hurts. But He loves us. He loves us with a perfect love. He loves us with an unfailing love. And we can trust on Him for that unfailing love. We can approach Jesus freely and with confidence. According to His Word, Ephesians 3:12 says you can approach Him. You can enter into the most holy of holies boldly and with confidence. Amen? Boldly and with confidence, we can enter into the most holy of holies. We can pray and we can be men of faith when we pray. Elijah, according to the word of God, was what? A man just like us. And what did Elijah do? He prayed. On one particular occasion, he prayed and said, "Lord, don't let it rain." And guess what? It didn't rain. And the same guy says, "Lord, let it rain." And it rains. Elijah, a man just like us, who prayed by faith. We're to be men of prayer when they're sick. I tell Jesus this, "Jesus, you just rock my world. You take your own stepbrother, James, and then you inspire him to write the book of James under the power of your Holy Spirit, and you tell me things like, if you're sick, we should come along those that are sick, we should lay hands on them, and we should pray by faith." He uses his stepbrother James, inspired by the Holy Spirit. This one I love, and Dan and I have shared with each other many times. If any of you lacks wisdom, God the Father says, "Come and ask me for it." And what does he say? "I'll give it to you generously and abundantly without finding fault." That's a lot to get excited about. I need to be wise. I need to have wisdom. Prayer needs to also be done not just by faith. Prayer needs to be done while in fellowship with the family of believers. We need to pray together. New Testament, Colossians chapter 1. Go there quickly. We're doing good. We still got 9 minutes. Colossians chapter 1. Again, I'm laughing and giggling inside because I could never find the book of Galatians. And Dr. Lewis Hill said, just remember where Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians is. And just remember General Electric Power Company. So see Colossians Power Company. So if you find Philippians, you know Colossians coming. Right before that's General Electric. So anyway, Galatians, Ephesians. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Paul and Timothy coming together to do what? They're writing a letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit saying to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and the sisters in Christ. They're going to pray in fellowship with each other and pray for the family of Christ. That's what he says. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. When we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. Men, we need to pray for each other. I had so many men praying for me these last 7 weeks. Praise his holy and righteous name. And thank you to every one of you who have prayed for me. I know that I'm able to stand here today, not in my strength, but his strength, because men were faithful to pray for my physical needs. Same chapter. Look over to verse 9. He says, "For this reason, since the day we learned about you," listen to this carefully, "we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Why? So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." Oh, what it would look like. We used to do this, and this is a challenge. I'd love to see men next year with Ben and I and Don join us for an all-night prayer meeting. We used to do it, and we've gotten out of the habit of doing it. We need to do it again. We need to be men like Jesus who prayed all night. Amen? Amen. Ben, Jack, hold us accountable next year to do it. We'll wrap this up. What would it look like? Brothers praying for brothers. Brothers devoted to prayer. I remember... Sorry about that. It gets a little elevated when you hold your nose. Never knew that. Acts 2:42 says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship and prayer." What would it look like, man, if we were a bunch of men who just said, "We're going to get together. We're going to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. We're going to devote ourselves to come together in fellowship. We're going to break bread together, take communion together, and we're going to be men of prayer." All of you know that if we'll humble ourselves before the Lord and repent of our sins and pray, we have a great promise from 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'd love to see a bunch of men leave here today and say, I'm going to grab another man and say, will you start meeting another man and start meeting with me on a weekly basis to pray? Another man with another man praying. And praying to the one, according to Psalm 65:2, that passage says, we can pray to the one who hears our prayer. Now I'm going to close, and then Ben's going to come up to close our session with each other. I'm going to pray a closing prayer for all of us. So I'm going to ask you right now to bow your heads. And I'm asking truly that you'd bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm asking you to remember that as I pray this prayer for you, it's the prayer from the living and enduring Word of our Lord. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of your glorious riches, Father, you may strengthen these men with power through your Holy Spirit in their inner being, so that Christ Jesus, you would dwell in my brothers' hearts through faith. And I pray, Father, that these men, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of your holy people, Lord, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is your love, Jesus. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that we as men can be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And now unto you, Father, the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within us. We want you, Father. We want you, Jesus. We want you, Holy Spirit, to receive all the glory and honor and praise for what you've done for us, what you're doing for us, and what you will do for us in and through Christ Jesus, your Son, our Savior, and our King. It's in the precious name of Jesus I've prayed, knowing by faith I'm in the most holy of holies. I ask this, Jesus. I ask you to hear this prayer. I ask you to move amongst these men, that we might become mighty, valiant men of prayer and mighty, valiant men of the Word, and that we'd leave here today knowing we've heard from you. Jesus, in your mighty name I pray. Amen and amen.